Technorama episode 532, three-piece spacesuit.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can I find the six infinity stones?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
What is the price of the infinity stones anyway?
I was going to say, what are you checking your list?
Five.
No, six.
Seven is right out. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. My camera's a little bit on the low side. There. Fix that up.
Sure.
My name is Chuck Tomasi. If you're joining us for the first time, thank you for joining us. If you're coming back, you're returning listener / viewer, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. Joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm excited because I travel this week.
You travel. You are going to be traveling on Thursday.
Yes, and I'm also excited because the week after will cap off this crazy last 2 months of development.
Two, four, five. Seems like.
Well, it's been super crazy the last 2 months.
Work has been crazy. Getting ready for our annual conference at work.
Speaking of drinking from the fire hose.
It's not so much fire hose, it's cat herding.
That is, you know.
I can get my stuff done. Why can't everybody else get their stuff done?
You have no idea. I mean, you have an idea.
Doctor, it hurts when I bend my leg this way. Yeah. And it just fell off. It's a little late to go to the doctor.
Yeah, I've actually learned a couple of tricks this year from dealing. I mean, just to give you a little background, you know, I'm working on the back end of a conference. We're working on building out these labs for people to do, take classes on the material at the conference. Well, you know, I'm handling the technical part of it. And then you get all these, I got about 200 people trying to develop labs. And Chuck said, it's just been cat herding, and I've been scratched and, you know.
Mutilated.
Mutilated.
And then someone drops more kittens on your porch.
Yeah. Hey, here you go. Yeah. What's this bag? What's in this bag? Oh, more kittens. So, but yes, the last couple months has been high intensity, but it's coming to a head, and it's going to be good.
It's always a lot of fun. It's always a lot of work.
It is. I mean, it's rewarding. It is a lot of work. So I'm not complaining. It's just that it's a lot to take in, all at once. So
it's a challenge. Yeah. All right. We have some feedback. Should we do that?
Yes.
There we go.
Letters. We get your letters every day.
Ding, ding, ding.
Heavy one. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
So I think we cleared up the mystery that the mailman reached into the bag, pulled one out, opened it up, and read it for you. That song will never be the same again. And the one that the mailman handed me after he illegally opened it up is from Fritz Ulrich Siewert. Do you know this person?
I do not.
I do not either. Must be a new listener. Hello, Chuck and Craig. I'm a little late with my suggestion, but there is already a beer here in Germany with a nerd name called BitSun. I like it.
I'm willing to try it.
He's got a URL in there. You can find it in our show notes. Thank you for making me smile on my commute to work on the Autobahn. Fritz from Germany. I think that's the first time we've heard from Fritz. Thank you very much.
That's the first time we've heard and I got an email from the Autobahn.
That's right. Well, he didn't say he was on the Autobahn when he was writing this.
Well, you don't know. He said, we made him smile on his commute to work on the Autobahn.
Danke schön, Fritz. Yeah. And my German doesn't go much further than that.
That's right.
Except for Gesundheit.
Yeah. Buenos noches. Oh, wait.
Not even close. We did have a rather entertaining thread for our question of the week.
Why, yes, we did.
I posted it this afternoon, and it got traffic. How about that?
Yeah, I can't believe it got some major traction, didn't it?
I love it. Our question of the week last week was, what is your favorite quote? And I didn't want people to gravitate right to movies. We've done that before. This is movies, parents, kids, friends, just so much to choose from. That's what I left
Pink Floyd.
My sister says there's no place like home, which I can agree with. Former classmate.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Say her name because everybody knows her name.
My sister Martha.
Thank you.
We call her Marty. I'm just going to pick and choose a few of these. Yeah. When Vicky writes, when the girls are upset over something ridiculous, she says, pick up the pieces of your shattered lives and move on.
Wow.
That's pretty harsh, but okay.
It sounds like one of those things your 8-year-old with no filter tells you, you know, how kids don't lie.
And they probably heard it from some movie that you never saw.
Yeah.
And you think it's funny. There was another one down here. Tiffany says, once is funny, twice is naughty, three times is time out. Used frequently at my house. Longtime listener Weber Baker says, it's not good. It's not going to get any greener. My mother would say that when the person in front of her was at a green light and didn't move. We used to say, waiting for any particular shade of green.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
What else do we have in here? Rob Real says, it's always better to be a smartass than a dumbass. Which I've heard many times and used many times.
Yes.
Oh, let's see. What else do we have?
Oh, To Infinity and Beyond.
Yep.
Cindy Adamson.
Brad Miller says, well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford slowing down to take a look at me. And he says, just a lot of imagery in that side.
Yeah, it is.
I agree 100%. Mike Wills says, hold my beer. And then my good friend Steve, who I believe doesn't listen to it, he says, you forgot the second half of the quote. Watch this. I said, that's how we start our podcast. Hold my beer and watch this.
That's how most things end up in the emergency room around here.
That's what he said. He said, it also precedes most car, bike, ATV, skiing, and skydiving accidents in Wisconsin.
Actually, I think in South Carolina, that's the motto. Hey, y'all, watch this.
What else do we got in here that entertained you?
One I threw in there, if I can toot my own horn here.
Yeah, I guess you think you're your funniest own person.
Yeah. Was Jesse Ventura when he said, I ain't got time to bleed in The Predator.
We also have, what else do we have? Red Hastings. Chew, if only you could see what I've seen with your eyes from Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you spelled chew right. I thought it was C-H-U. But lots of good stuff. If you want to continue the discussion in here, go ahead and jump right in. I asked that on Sunday. If you're not following me on Facebook, well, I encourage you to. It's a whole lot of fun. And you'll get noticed about, you know, this show going live, that kind of stuff.
Hey, wait. By the way, this is Scott Tyler's, and I read it in Bruce Willis's voice. Welcome to the party, pal. From Die Hard.
Yep.
The greatest Christmas movie ever.
Thank you very much for everyone who contributed. That was a lot of fun, and we will have another question at the end of this show. Which means it must be time for... Hey,
and by the way, wait a minute, if it's...
Sorry, I hit the button right as you said that. It was involuntary.
And due to it being a podcast here, we'll probably get quotes for the next 2 months.
I don't mind. Send them along.
Bring it.
If you're listening to this in June of 2025 or later, you are more than welcome. I plan on still podcasting. We'll be, 20 years old at that time.
I'm going to ride this train till...
Officially, this goes out May 2nd. The audio gets released May 2nd. And that is the day after our 13-year anniversary of this show.
Yes.
This show is now going into its 14th year.
Happy birthday.
That's crazy.
Yes.
How many podcasts are still around from 2004, 2005 that are still going?
There's a few, but not as many as you'd think or you would hope.
Not as many of that started out back then, that's for sure.
That's right. There was a lot that was launched that year.
I have a cat screaming in the hall, and I'm about to sneeze. Oh, I swear there must be cat hair on this microphone because I do this when I'm doing work all the time. It was one of those aborted sneezes that just makes your eyes swell up. I can't read. Let's do the history thing.
Causes brain damage, man.
Causes eye damage. On this day in history for May 2nd, 2018, this is the 122nd day of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 243 days remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1611 that the King James Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, is first published forthwith to thou thine London on thine England by said thouest printer Robert Barkerist.
Okay. And 112 years ago today, closing ceremonies of the intercalated games in Athens, Greece.
Intercalated. I wonder if that was like the first Olympics that didn't have a name.
I'll say, what is intercalated anyway?
We'll have to go on Wikipedia and look that up.
It's the insertion of molecules between the planar bases and... Never mind. Go ahead. The wrong version of the word.
Also on May 2nd, 1918, General Motors acquires the Chevrolet Motor Company of Delaware.
And it was on this date in 1920 that the first game of the Negro National League Baseball is played in Indianapolis.
Far out. The same date in 1952, the world's first ever jetliner, the de Havilland Comet 1, makes its maiden flight from London all the way to Johannesburg. I think they might have had to stop for refueling here and there.
Okay. And it was also on this date in 1969 that the British ocean liner Queen Elizabeth II departs on her maiden voyage to New York City.
The city of Chernobyl is evacuated 6 days after the nuclear power plant disaster on this date in 1986. Wow, that doesn't seem like that long ago.
I know. Also on this date, in May 2nd, 2000, President Bill Clinton announces that accurate GPS access would no longer be restricted to the United States military.
Someday we're all going to have these in our car.
Yeah. He was a visionary.
And then we're going to release the space meals for everybody. Never mind. Nobody eats those
things. I just want to keep track of all the women within 3 feet of me.
These women will use this as a restraining order. I'm not so sure I like this. Happy birthday, guys, on this date to English historian and topographer William Camden, born on date in 1551. I wonder if Camden Town is named after him.
I don't know. Go look it up. Italian composer Alessandro Scarletti.
Close enough.
Was born 358 years ago today.
Canadian physician and geologist Abraham. You know what I just realized? If you're not in this studio, you can't read the... Well, if you download the show notes, you can. But I thought, somebody just in their car on the Autobahn isn't going to know if we're right or wrong. They'll obviously know that wasn't an Italian name, though.
Yeah. All right.
Canadian physician and geologist Abraham Pineo Gessner was born today in 1797.
And German chemist and physicist Heinrich Gustav Magnus was born 216 years ago today.
That sounds like the name of a bad guy in a movie.
Yeah.
My name is Heinrich Gustav Magnus.
And you will die.
Desiree Charnay, French archaeologist and photographer, was born on the same date in 1828.
E. E. Smith, the American engineer and author, was born 128 years ago today.
I wonder if he invented the E.E. prom.
Yeah, right. He got tired of not being able to burn it.
German captain and pilot Manfred von Richthofen was born 126 years today. You know what he's better known as?
What? Oh, wait.
It's on the... He's getting it.
No.
Red Baron.
Oh, yeah. Indian archaeologist B.B. Lal. Wow, I'm just... Mazers, yeah, two
the,
people
the
with
initials.
The initials, yeah.
He invented the BB today. Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, did it's he? A known fact.
Is it really?
All right. I am
I'm going along with this.
Stole that from Ben and Keith, and apparently it worked.
Yeah, right.
I'm not as gullible with some ridiculous book. Fact. They say it's a known fact.
A known fact.
It's on the internet.
A known fact. I'll start saying that.
I heard it on Tech-Rama. It must be true.
People work ask me a question. Hey, it's a known fact.
Also, by that same date in 1939, Japanese physicist and engineer Sumio Ijima. I can't tell from this font what that first letter is. It's either capital I or capital lowercase L. Ijima. Yeah.
And also turning 68 today is English chemist and academic Simon Gaskell.
Nicely done. Listener birthdays this week include longtime listener K.L. Wright on the 3rd. Also, Leon, who's one of our crack... what do we call him? Patreons.
Yeah, we always see him in somewhere at Dragon Con.
That's right. Whether you want to or not, it's an accident waiting to happen. Joe Machowski, I hope. It's a host of On the Podcast. I hope that's still around, too, is on the 5th. Nope. We have three birthdays on the 6th. Amber Pace, not really a listener, but the mother and wife of listeners. Good for you. Secondhand Technorama can be dangerous. Bill Barber on the 6th. Steve Bickle on the 6th. And finally, Curtis Parrish on the 8th. That's the way it was on this day in history for May 2nd, 2018. Right on time.
Yay!
If you want to be on the birthday calendar and you want to get your name at the right time, shouted out at the right time of the year, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, which is right there, down there on the bottom of the screen, and put your name in there. It. Not your screen, my screen. Go to Facebook and look. It'll come up in just a sec. Because our wonderful videographer, our beautiful videographer, is going to put that up there. See how that works?
Yes.
I have ESPN. I know it's going to happen in sports before it happens. Go over there. We'll give you a shout out. If it's your birthday and you didn't get it on the birthday calendar this year, happy birthday to you. We wish you all of the best. All right. We need a... Here.
Bad news, nobody.
Well, that's bad news, all right.
This is bad news. I was looking for the bad news.
Bad news for you, Chuck.
Why is it bad news for me?
Uranus smells like rotten eggs.
That just sounds like a second grader's joke gone horribly wrong. It's like, yeah, it's confirmed.
I guess she used to say it like Uranus.
Yeah,
like right. That's the.
Oh, we did away. We changed the name of that planet 700 years ago because of that joke. Well, what's it called now? Erectum. good old Futurama, always good for a laugh. There's a lot of really smelly stuff wafting around Uranus. The clouds in Uranus' upper atmosphere are composed largely of hydrogen sulfide, the molecule that makes rotten eggs so stinky, a new study says. Quote, if an unfortunate human were to ever descend through Uranus clouds, they would be met with a very unpleasant and odoriferous conditions, study lead author Patrick Irwin of Oxford University in England said in a statement.
Run-on sentence there, isn't it?
I may have made it just sound like a run-on sentence. But the wayward pioneer would have bigger problems, he added. Suffocation and exposure to the negative 200 degrees Celsius atmosphere.
The smell is not your highest problem.
It smells like death!
Yeah.
It's made mostly of hydrogen, helium, and methane. Would take a toll on it long before the smell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be the last thing you smell. Research have long wondered about the composition of the clouds high up in Uranus's sky, specifically whether they're dominated by ammonia ice, as Jupiter and Saturn, or by hydrogen sulfide ice. The answer was proved elusive. The answer has proved elusive because it's tough to make observations with the required detail on distant Uranus. Not only are Jupiter and Saturn closer to the Earth, they have also hosted dedicated orbiter missions. Uranus has been visited just once by a brief flyby by Voyager 2 in January of 86. Oh my, it's so sad. Only one visitor, and it's been 30, how many years has the planet been out there before it got any visitors? Consider yourself lucky.
Actually, John Miller Jr. says, Uranus smelt it and dealt it.
Wait, no. So I think we pretty much wore that story out.
We wiped that one
stuff out.
We wiped that story out.
There's a ring around Uranus. Okay. You want to take the next one?
Sure. Let's move that.
This is another bad news one. It's putting people out of jobs.
Yes. So robot launched weather balloons in Alaska hasten the demise of remote stations. Last Thursday before 3 p.m., things began stirring inside the truck-sized box that sat among the melting piles of snow at airport in Fairbanks, Alaska. Inside, software ran checks, on instruments to measure the atmospheric temperature, humidity, and pressure. A tray slid into place. A nozzle began to fill a large balloon with gas. Speaking of Uranus. And sorry. Finally, the roof of the box yawned open and a weather balloon took off in the sunny afternoon, instruments dangling. The entire launch was triggered with the touch of a button 5 kilometers away from in an office at the National Weather Service. The flight was smooth, just one of hundreds of twice daily balloon launches around the world that radio back crucial data for weather forecasting. But most of these balloons were launched by people. The robotic launchers, which are rolling out across Alaska, are proving to be controversial. NWS says that the launchers will save money and free up staff to work on other pressing matters, but representatives of the employee union question their reliability and say that they will hasten the end of Alaska's remote weather offices, where forecasting duties and hours have already been slashed. The auto launcher is just another nail in the coffin, says Kimberly Vaughn, a union steward in Juneau.
I don't know that I could say anybody's looking forward to going to Alaska to launch weather balloons. If that's your career objective, stay in school, kids. I know that there's probably a lot more to that I'm not understanding, but this seems like a perfect application for robotics. Am I wrong?
As long as there's somebody there to replenish the balloons after they take off.
Agreed. Someone's got to do maintenance on these things.
I assume they come back down. I don't know how that works.
They get up to a certain height, then they explode, and the cargo comes back down, sometimes retrievable, sometimes not.
On the weather balloons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you about weather balloons?
Some. I mean, I've seen the balloons that Google and Facebook have been launching,
gas bag.
Yeah.
They're expandable. They don't have a lot of, they're a lot smaller, obviously, down here at launch level. And they have a rope or some sort of line dangling from the bottom of the balloon with a box of instruments that measures your pressure and your humidity and all that stuff. And then it's a radar reflector so that something doesn't fly into it. So that you can see it coming on the radar. And
it's like a silver balloon.
The balloon itself is round. It may change shape as it gets higher in the atmosphere. As the pressure gets lower, the balloon expands. But part of what's on this line is almost like a diamond shaped thing, but it's in 3D. So it's got an X, Y, and a Z. So whenever you hit it with the radar, it bounces back a signal to you.
Oh, you mean that? Okay, gotcha.
So it's sort of like those things, not the round ones, but you see on the power lines near airports.
Are you talking about the orange balls?
And they transmit the data back.
Yeah.
As they get higher in the atmosphere, because there's still a very effective way of doing weather forecasting. Satellites can give you a picture of what's coming in a very wide range.
Well, they can't really measure the atmosphere as a balloon going up.
They're not
going to
tell you what the humidity is at 15,000 feet versus 20,000 feet versus 25,000 feet.
Yeah,
they're still very predictable. And like you said, we're going to need people to service these stations. You're going to need to replenish the supply of balloons, gas, instruments.
I mean, I think if you wanted to get into this field, launching the balloon would not be what I want to do. I would want to
analyze the data,
maybe analyze the data, redo research or whatever. So, yeah.
We also have wonderful science and science news today. This was this came in this past week. I thought it was very intriguing from someone who's recently undergone medical procedure, not this particular procedure, but Engadget writes, someday every piece of a person will be replaceable. And this is getting right up there with the fanciful stuff that was unimaginable just a few years ago.
Yeah.
In the past half decade, medical science has made tremendous advances in reproductive organ transplant techniques. In the span of just a 4 years, we've seen the first successful penile transplant, the first child born from a transplanted uterus, and as of Monday this past week, the world's first full male genital transplant surgery. Now, you can do snickering or whatever, but the situation is pretty serious for this patient. During a 14-hour marathon operation, a team of doctors at Johns Hopkins University grafted the penis and scrotum from a donor cadaver onto a U.S. military member who had his own genitals destroyed during his service in Afghanistan. Mm. If you can enrich the lives of somebody to this degree, this is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes you wonder, what's next? What's even more wild is that this isn't just state-of-the-art. This isn't just state-of-the-art medical procedure. It's par for the course in terms of transplant technology. Transplants are very exciting field right now. Very exciting time, and there's a lot going on. Dr. Jonathan DeCona, Associate Professor of Cardiothoracic Surgery and Chief of Lung Transplant Divisions. Wow, but he does quite a few transplants at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, told Engadget. It doesn't matter whether it's general urinary transplant or lungs or heart or liver, kidney, they all have different aspects and components to which them we're trying to push the field further and further. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking like any other transplant, this person's going to have to take the anti-rejection drugs. Because it's
possibly. Yeah, I would imagine so.
So it is a life-changing thing. I talk regularly with a guy who had a kidney transplant, and he's got a regular astronaut's picnic full of pills that he's got to take every morning. He says he takes like 12 in the morning and 10 at night. And but hey, he's still kicking. He's got his daughter's kidney that's working fine. Good to have people around, and it's just a wonderful time to have technology like this.
I'll tell you, I've heard stories upon story, especially everything from just a hip replacement to knee surgery. I mean, that's amazing.
There was a recent story about the guy who had his whole face and like the lower half of his skull, his upper jaw, lower jaw, that was all replaced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of that's coming. You know, again, I've seen people with their knees replaced and they're walking around really unnoticeable. You know, and they had anything had to.
I might have to have that done in a few years.
Yeah. So, but still, I think it's pretty amazing some of the advances. Now, I do know somebody this weekend, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit. It didn't happen this weekend, but he had cut the tip of his thumb off, or the top part of his thumb off, on a table saw.
Oh.
But he was able to go get stitches and everything and put it back on. And it's there, and it's living. You know, it's living tissue. And it was just amazing to me that, you know, the human body can adapt and make changes and heal itself in ways like that. So that in itself is amazing. So, you know, being able to replace with something as complex as, you know, a penis and scrotum and it work
exactly
properly.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And if you read through the article, that a lot of that functionality will come back. That's mind blowing.
It is.
All right.
Okay. I'm not going to make fun of any of that because that is pretty awesome.
No, exactly. Especially if it was you or somebody in your family. That's a miracle.
So let's move along to something else I can make fun of.
I'm sure we'll get there right after the break. How's that?
Yes.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories. I remember when, and I think we've got one final question for you. Hang out with us. We'll be right back.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, coming at you right from Portal 47 and all things Trekland, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Oh, I missed something.
What'd you miss?
I missed this.
Geek Thoughts.
When are they going to be done with the alphabet so we can get on with the beta bet?
I think I gave that one to you.
I think, yeah.
I've been talking about the alphabet for a long time. It was when Gmail was way back in beta, and I said, I wonder if they ever have an alpha. And you know what's funny is Google's parent company is now Alphabet.
True. Hey, it's a known fact.
It's a known fact. I heard it on Technorama. It must be true.
You may have thrown that one at me. Honestly, I don't remember. It's been so long ago. We've been doing this for so long.
I know those were recorded over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to feel old. I just had my nephew's daughter just turned 12.
Your nephew's daughter? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Kids are growing up, man.
Yeah, one day you will too.
She's as old as my other nephew.
Right.
Anyway, we have some security news from Geekology. Oh, we didn't say what section we're in. We're in the Hacks and Strange Stories, right?
Yeah.
I think. And this one qualifies as a good hack. I mean, not a really intriguing hack, in my opinion. When I read this, I was more interested in the technology than, oh my gosh, it's a security breach. Like, yeah. How did they build that? What are the components?
Yeah, I was kind of half and half. I went, oh, that's cool. Wait, is it?
Not if it happens to you.
Yeah.
In security news, apparently all electronic hotel locks are easily hackable. Now, they're talking about the electronic ones that you hold up an RFID to. If you still insert a card, it might be a different story. Although that's got a swiper in it. Maybe that's not as tough as it looks, and obviously,
what? They're swiping.
Are there any hotels that still use keys, like the metal cut keys?
Probably few and far between. I don't think I've ever had one. Usually the ones I've been getting are ones where you insert it into the door, at least just a card,
right? Like the magnetic stripe, and it has to be in a certain direction.
Yeah, the only place I've been to that used a an RFID, like on a bracelet, was like the Great Wolf Lodge. We went there one time.
We had some in Mexico too. Had some of those.
Yeah,
and I know Disney uses those a lot too. The remember the room keys that had holes in them? They were basically the plastic punch cards of hotel room keys.
No, I didn't see those.
You never saw those? I think those.
I wasn't
were
traveling
big
at
in
that
like
period.
The late
of my life.
70s or 80s.
Right.
Yeah. It was narrower and longer than the ones we've got now. And they had a series of holes punched in them. And it must have been light activated or something to let the lock unlock.
Well, you know, these RFID, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for the hotel in the vein that, you know, people leave and don't return the keys. So if you have metal keys cut, then kind of screwed.
Yeah, well, that was the big problem with them is...
Yeah.
And a lot of the plastic, those sort of diamond shaped rhombus, mm-hmm. if you will, tags always said, you know, I found drop in the mailbox and it'll get back to this particular hotel. The Ving card vision locks are RFID based hotel locks. At this week's Infiltrate conference in Miami, Tomi Tominen and Timo Hirvonen, those might be Finnish names. From F-Secure, will present a method for combining a $300 Proxmark RFID tool with any discarded key from a given hotel to derive the master keys that allow them to unlock every room in the hotel. So if somebody leaves one room key behind, they can read it and get in anywhere they want to go. That's mm-hmm. okay. That's a bit frightening. Because you'd think the security on the app and the doors would be a little bit better than that.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to go to the door next to yours and open it up.
No, because your key doesn't have that information. But apparently, they can read information off of there that allows them to write or transmit that information again. Wow, that's kind of weird.
Now,
I have been playing around with some RFID readers, but yeah, now I really want to play around with them.
Well, was it our conference? I can't remember. They gave us cards and they had RFID on it. And I was able to read my card with my phone because I had Android and you could read the RFID stuff. And I was able to see the raw data. It was like a big blob. I mean, you could kind of read it. So these cards are similar, I assume. So you should be able to read it if it's just regular RFID.
Well, there's different types of RFID, as I'm learning quickly. And your phone is not only a reader, but also has an RFID in it.
It wasn't RFID on my phone. I'm sorry, NFC. It came with an NFC. The badge had an NFC tag on it. You could read it.
All right. We'll go with that. I'm still learning my way around some of these things. Yeah. It's estimated that the tool could be used to open any of the electronic lock systems used in 160,000 hotels in 160 countries. That sounds like a security risk. Maybe not as serious a security risk to me as a ninja suit with a pocket full of throwing stars, but hey, I'm one with the wind. Yeah. Geekology always has some interesting narrative.
So what I would recommend is when you close your door to sleep at night, put your luggage in front of the door.
Well, no, you close the little metal hasp that...
Oh, yes, right. There is one there.
Yes. I'll have that. Right. And when you leave your room, close it too.
Yeah, prop it open with the luggage.
No, you have your own electronic gadget that shoots darts at the person coming in.
That's it.
Illegal intruder. Speaking of gadgets, I made my own little gadget.
What you got
I
there?
Made a binary clock. Not just
hold it down a little bit.
Any binary clock.
Down. There we go.
Craig, that's for you. I'm going at the viewers on the stream. Yeah, there's two cameras in front of me.
Oh.
So if you look, I'm using a Wemos D1, which is an ESP8266 based device.
Okay.
And it has these stackable shields on it. So this is an LED matrix shield on it. Now, 00 is actually this coordinate down here. So my fun yesterday was to figure out how to rotate this. So I called this east because the power connector is facing to the right.
Okay.
This is south. This is north. And of course... And because this has Wi-Fi, I also loaded a little mini web server on there. So I can connect to this device right now, go into a web page and say, nope, you're going to now use the west configuration. And it will realign the origin to put the dots on this side. I said, well, if somebody's sitting it on their desk like this and their power is over here, this doesn't do you any good. So it's a configurable, my next thought was it needs a gyroscope so it can do it all by itself in real time.
That is cool.
And your thought was when you tilt it, all the dots would fall down.
Yeah, you should have a gun. They all kind of fall.
It was an arduous task in itself, figuring out when you do subtraction and when you do addition and how do you rotate these bits and which one's X and which one's Y.
Oh, yeah.
That was yesterday's challenge. So this was kind of fun. The total cost of this is probably about $5. But
you know,
these are fun little devices to work with.
See, that's the kind of device I need that I can put a switch on and the web server will tell me the switch is on or off. Then I can put that in the garage and know whether the door is open or not.
Yes, you could do that. You could do that with either that device or you could do that with really anything that's ESP8266 based. A Node MCU, there's, I don't think the Arduino Mini has it. But the cool thing is these are all fully supported by the Arduino IDE. You just say, I'm using this particular board. You program the same language. It compiles the same. It downloads the same. And
it was kind of like C or something?
It's C++. But you can you can use C in C++. I don't know much about C++, but I know enough C to be dangerous. Like, I had to remind myself what you actually do to pass pointers in and use them. That's 30-year-old knowledge. I haven't had to scratch that itch in a long time.
I know. You have to, hey, thank goodness for Google, right?
Yes, I agree. Like, let's see, I want to make an array of structures. How did that look again?
Yeah.
And at one point I caught myself typing var instead of int, you know, just well, my JavaScript was sneaking in.
Let's say we write JavaScript for 90% of what we do at work. So
yeah. And it's like, what do you mean there's no parse int? Wait, you don't have to do that in C. It just knows it's an integer variable and drops the remainder. Okay, that's better. All right, we also have one other story. Where are we? We are moving right through this show. Wow, it's getting crazy late. We have one more. Would you like this one?
Sure. Which I thought this was kind of intriguing. And I wanted to, because we were talking about albums and the record pops and the music, you know, before, speaking of the HD vinyl. So this is a cassette tape simulator that makes your MP3 sound like you're listening to them on a retro Walkman.
And then it gets all jammed up.
Yeah. Oh, man, my MP3 got stuck in the thing again.
Got jammed.
Yeah. Get the pencil. So released in 1979, the original Sony Walkman completely changed how people listen to their music. Your tunes were free to go anywhere and sound like complete garbage. I wouldn't say that. But the quality of the music on cassette tapes can't compete with today's digital formats. But if people still like the sound of crackly records, surely there are people who miss the acoustic aesthetics of cassette tapes. Don't waste your time hunting down blank cassettes, broken Walkmans on eBay. However, if you've got a browser and a web connection, like me, a simple site called Webcassette will load and degrade your digital music files so they sound so the sound quality harkens back to the time before compact discs.
Excuse me?
Hit the market.
This sounds like a way for them to get your music files. Just upload them to us and we'll play them back at a degree. Yeah. Look at all the audio files we've got.
I'll have to download something and throw it up there just to see what it does, but because I haven't tried it yet. Well, wait, do they have? There's a sample.
It has a sample? Did I miss actually that? Is that what's in the little video window?
Can you play audio?
Yes.
Go to the click on the web cassette link, and it'll bring it up. And there's you just hit play, and there's they already got one loaded
cassette
up.
Cassette tape. Where's the web cassette link? Web cassette via Cult of Mac. Okay. Let's see.
That's in the middle bar.
And it has a sample?
Yeah, I just hit play button. Hit the play button. And you can change the tape quality.
It's skipping.
And the head quality. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Noise reduction off, low, high.
Tape quality. Is this a chromium oxide tape? Where's the CRO2 button? Tape select. There it is, chrome. Ooh, metal has more range.
Remember, like in a Max
L. I think
L
we're having a bandwidth issue under my cassette. That was just broken and horrible.
Yeah. Anyway.
Does it come with a virtual pencil?
Yeah. And you know, one time I had a cassette player. I had a cassette player, and I was like, you know, I kept thinking the quality sounded bad, and like it degraded over time. And I went in with I got the idea to realign the heads with a screwdriver.
Yes,
you know, you could realign them, and man, it was like night and day. You know, just when it's one of those things that just got the bright idea. It's like, well, there's a little hole there. Like it's meant for the screwdriver to pass through the head. Let's give it a shot. Sure enough, worked right out.
Hey, guess who's watching on the live stream?
Who?
We forgot to give our shout out to the chat room. Kevin Devin.
Yeah, he's on there. John Clifford. John Miller Jr.
Yep.
My uncle Charles Stepp jumped in there for a minute. I remember seeing his name. Trina Perry. I went to high school with her.
Do we have anybody?
Fred Smith. Went to high school with him.
Ugh. Okay, you got all your friends on there.
Yeah, Fred Smith.
They now know what a huge success you've grown into since high school.
Yeah, podcaster for umpteen years.
This is where your career aspirations have led you. All that education.
Dead end road.
What's that?
To a dead end road.
Yep. Podcasting out of your parents' basement. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Craig and Chuck are the Wayne's World of the internet. All right, we have...
Wait a minute. Kevin Devin, he must be listening to a different show. He said, greetings, gentlemen.
It's on mute.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right, we do want to give a huge shout out to our patrons. These are the people that bring us the funding that keeps this show going. Thank you very much to the likes of Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman. Some of these people have been listening for practically this whole 13 years. It's great. Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic. Other newcomers include Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon. Yes, that Leon. John Noble, not that John Noble. Chris MC, I think we now have a match for not that John Noble, but it's that Leon.
Yeah, that Leon.
I work with a woman named Lily Lee, and her Instagram handle is and Twitter is Oh That Lily Lee.
Nice.
Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Yorga Schwarwin, and we want your name here in this last empty box on this bottom row. And then maybe two or three more so we can start a new row just to drive Craig nuts. What do you say? Yeah. For as little as a dollar a show, you can help fund
this show.
You're
going to mess with my OCD.
Yes. Let's mess with Craig for a dollar a show.
Hey, that's a bargain, I think.
If we get some number like 25, he's going to try going with a table of 5x5, but I'm not going to let him. If we do get the 16th one, we'll go with the 5x5 rule. Let's keep screwing with him. You can be one of our patrons by going over to patreon.com. Technorama Podcast, just like it shows, right there on the bottom of the screen. Again, help us out, and you'll get your name in not only in the show, but you get customized, exclusive content just for the patrons. And we had a whopper of a topic last week.
I know.
It was 30 minutes long. Try not to do that too often. We know you're busy. We know you have lots of other podcasts to listen to. And we appreciate you partaking and helping us out. Just go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast if you want to be part of the action there. All right, let's do away with that. The band ended a little quickly on that one. Well, we're done? We're at the question of the week already?
Yes, I'm actually...
Okay, this is a question and as well as an image. And the question is, has science gone too far? From Geeks Are Sexy, they bring us the Kraft Dinner Flavored Cream Oreo. It's the cheddar, it's Kraft Mac and Cheese Oreo. So chocolate and cheese? Okay.
Yeah.
This is most likely a Photoshop job, but if it's real, heck yes, it has indeed gone too far. However, there's few people I know, including me, that would definitely buy a pack just out of curiosity, and I'm pretty sure it would be very, very gross, but who knows? We might be surprised. Bacon-flavored Oreos would be pretty awesome, right? Right? Because combining bacon with
anything... Anything's good with bacon.
Not anything.
Really?
Not anything.
Oranges, maybe? I don't know. Name it. Name something.
Bacon and Colgate toothpaste.
Okay, you got me there. Orange juice and toothpaste do not mix either.
No, they don't. Orange juice and not much.
Well, so this kind of led me to the question of the week. In what way has science gone too far?
Right.
In what way do you believe that, you know, they just went over nuts like the...
As the other thing that I found interesting was if you scale this image down far enough, so that you can barely even see the pixels. You just see the blue and orange and brown. It kind of looks like SpongeBob puking.
That's a good note to leave on.
It does. It looks like he's hurling up his mac and cheese. Yeah. trust me on this one, folks. Like, you can play along too. That's just what I saw. It's pareidolia in the wrong direction. Yes. In what way has science gone too far is our question of the week. We want to know from you. We'll ask it a little later on Facebook as well. But if you've got a question and you want to know the answer, no, wait, it works the other way. We've got a question. We want to know your answer. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. We haven't heard from you in a very long time.
Or send us in a suggestion for the question of the week.
There we go. If you don't like our questions, send us your own and we'll consider them. We're not making any guarantees at this point.
This is how we change the world. Send your own in.
Wow. We're flipping this show on its head every week.
That's right.
It's more like it got dropped on its head.
That's right.
You can also send us an email. Find us on the inner tubes at, YouTube and Facebook, Twitter. There's also our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. If you only make it to the chuckchat.com page, you can figure out the rest from there. It's like one more click and you're there. So thank you very much, Craig. Let's play that music and do the outro
stuff.
Thank you,
Chuck.
Now, we will not have a show next week because both Craig and I will be at our work conference that we spoke of at the top of the show.
Yes.
However, the following week.
Yes.
We record this May 13th. Craig will be in studio. So no latency. You gotta see if you can do that bad Japanese theater thing where you're talking
out of. I can't understand. Yeah.
We'll put a webcam on him. We can green screen that background in. Take a picture and bring it with you.
Yeah, take a picture of my room. That's right.
And then I'll put it behind me and then you can be sitting in the studio, something like that. Anyway. It's time for the binary high five. You know what to do.
Okay. 101.
Thanks for watching and listening, everyone.
See you in a week or two.